All right, Joe, look. Don't look at me like that. And I know what you're going to say, but do you think we have a Dracula on our hands? Oh, boy. Or should I say a Dracula Daug on our hands?
I can't reach you across the table, you know, to slap you.
Whoa, no. Aw.
That's a call back to our film called Bog. Bog. Yes, go back and re-listen to Bog, because that episode was crazy. Yeah, that's a line in the movie. We have a Dracula on our hands. It's about a killer mosquito. Yeah. All right, anyway, continue on.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my hound from hell, Joe.
Arf. Arf would have been a better sound to put in the movie than what we got.
We'll get into it. Joe, you know what today is?
Talking trash?
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, and crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And it's August, and our little show has gone to the dogs. We are celebrating National Dog Month and National Dog Day on August 26th by watching some low-rated dog flicks for the month. And because next month is National Cat Month, we are doing cat movies next month. So it's dogs versus cats.
Well, you know how I feel about this.
Yes, yes. I do know. This week, we are talking about a movie with the tagline... there's more to the legend than meets the throat.
It does not say that.
Sure does.
That is the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
We are talking about 1977's Dracula's Dog, a.k.a. Zoltan, the Hound of Dracula. Well, at least that's the original UK title in 77. It came out in the U.S. as Dracula's Dog in 78. It has a 4.4 on IMDb from 1,700 reviewers. It was directed by the father of Charles Band and Richard Band.
What?
Yes. He is also the voice of Six Shooter in the Puppet Masters franchise. And he is the director of Ghoulies 2 and I Bury the Living. It's Albert Band.
I had no idea that any Band... had anything to do with this film. Yeah. I would never know that. Yeah. Never.
It was written by Frank Ray Perrell, the writer of Alligator.
I love that movie.
Which we did on the show.
I love that movie.
The special effects in this movie were done by Stan Winston and Ken Speed.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they look good, I think, for the most part.
Yeah. It stars father of Miguel Ferrer, the uncle of George Clooney, Jose Ferrera, from Lawrence of Arabia, Dune, To Be or Not to Be, and the Oscar winner for Best Actor in Cyrione de Bergerac. Ooh, did I say that good or not?
I think you did a good job.
Thank you. As Inspector Bronco in this movie.
Okay.
It also stars Michael Pataki.
I think.
Pataki. Sorry. Michael Pataki. One of only seven actors to appear on both Batman 66 and the Batman animated series, Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why does it always have to come back to Batman and DC Comics with you? I think there's a pattern here.
I thought you would appreciate my knowledge here.
I do appreciate your knowledge.
Only seven actors have ever done that. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Only seven?
Yeah. You're a jerk.
I love you.
I thought you were going to play into my love of comic books. Does anybody know I love comic book films? I don't know if you knew that.
Nobody knows it.
And comic books in general. He was in Easy Rider, Rocky IV.
He played Drago's assistant.
He sure does.
Yeah. Yeah.
He plays Michael Drake, or Count Dracula, depending on how you take it. This also stars Reggie Nailder. I don't know how to say his last name. Reggie Nailder as the innkeeper, or Vedit Smith. He's the head vampire Kurt Barlow in Salem's Lot.
The original Salem's Lot?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I just found this fun fact here. I thought it was kind of interesting, so I put it here for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Walt Disney film The Devil and Max Devlin, but stated in an interview that he could not stand working with Bill Cosby, the star of the film. He described him as a pig, as well as rude, arrogant, and very untalented.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so he got the memo before the rest of the world.
Yeah, I like that he called him a pig. Very interesting. But you know what's funny about this is he did a movie himself, which was a porno called Dracula Sucks.
Okay. All right. Okay.
He did no sex acts. He was known for his burns on his face, which they wanted you to know. Yeah.
They did many, many close-ups of this man's face.
This movie was given an X rating in the UK. It was cut to secure a reasonable release. Those cuts weren't restored until 10 years later on home video.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder, well, obviously there's a lot of what would be, I guess, animal cruelty would be considered animal cruelty in this.
Yeah, I mean,
even though the dogs are hounds of hell and, you know, they're Draculas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a bit of animal cruelty in this.
I guess that's true. Yeah, and I guess that would scare off a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep. I understand that whole thing. But, I mean, the dogs are the VIPs of this film.
Without a doubt.
And the person who should be promptly fired was the sound editor. I'm sorry. Yeah. It is the worst. I mean, the dog gets hit and goes flying, and a woman's screaming voice comes out of it.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. Let's
insert clip here.
Let's talk about this movie, because it was a roller coaster.
Now, this came out in 1970, what?
77 in the UK and 78 in the US.
All right, you can feel the 70s in this shit, because not just the feel of the movie, but just, like, you know, the freaking nasty clothes and, you know, just the overall, the music of the movie, just 70s garbage.
Two back-to-back 77 films.
I know, why are you gonna do that?
What was going on in the 70s? Like, what was going on in 77? Because I have another 77 movie coming up. So what's going on in the 77 with dogs? What was happening at this time where everybody was like, you know what? It's creepy dogs.
I mean, when did Cujo come out?
Maybe that's a great question. I don't know. You think everybody was trying to ride on the success of Cujo?
Maybe that was a catalyst for this shit.
I mean, I feel like that was a 70s film as well.
I don't know. I mean, it's got to have something to do with somebody somewhere. No, that was
83.
So it wasn't that something.
Funny fun fact about Cujo, it also has the same thing that happens here. A bat lands on his nose.
Oh my.
Yeah. Get a little bat attack on a dog.
Attack. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be said that Cujo was also a hound of hell. Dracula's dog.
Yeah.
A killer drac dog. Okay, so let's talk about the drac attack. So this movie's fascinating. The movie is wild. Like, the movie starts off and it's in a different country, and these people have uncovered, by doing explosions for some reason, they have found a tomb, and the tomb happens to be Dracula's tomb.
Now, it's not just Dracula.
It's
like
a whole
the
Drac
one
family.
Dracula. Okay. Yeah. This is like the tomb of all the Draculas.
Yes.
Leonard Dracula, Patty Dracula, Samson Dracula,
Igor Dracula,
Bethany Dracula.
Mine was the only real one in that whole sentence.
Peter Dracula.
That entire drop of names, mine was the only one that was really
no,
the
that's
Dracula's
not true.
Name.
I recall seeing a Barbara Dracula and a Jonathan Dracula.
There's at least seven. There's, I think, six graves. It's basically a mausoleum tomb type of thing where they're in the wall.
Yeah. Is
a mausoleum in the wall, or is that the one that has it in the center?
I have a lot of questions. No, that's a mausoleum. There's like a...
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But I have a lot of questions about this, because now all of these Draculas, and yes, their last name is Dracula. Okay, we're not just making this up. Their last name is Dracula. They're in the wall, okay? Now, I have a question.
I hope it's the same one I have.
About the stakes inside them.
Well, who did this?
Yeah. So if they're all dead, who put them in the wall with this? Okay.
And actually put their names on it to alert other people. This is where Dracula is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Like, what? Which one of their ancestors? Which? I mean, I think it had to have been.
It couldn't be an ancestor. It had to be like Van Helsing, right? It had to be like a Van Helsing was like, you know what? I'm going to stake them all, but I'm not that much of an asshole. I'm going to put them in nice marked graves.
Van Helsing would have piled their bodies up and set them on fire and watch them burn.
I agree. That's what I'm confused about.
No, it's not. Okay.
One of their ancestors would have took the stake out.
Oh, great Aunt Sophia. She put them all there.
Wait, Sophia Dracula?
Sophia Dracula. Put them all in the wall so that they could be together in the afterlife.
What are you suggesting here? That they came over for a steak dinner and they got something else?
Ah, see what you did.
Yeah. Maybe she was just mad at them all?
You know, I feel like she had a personal vendetta.
I can't wait to talk about it more because I have more questions to just this mausoleum. Because the characters, they found it by accident, but they seem to have been searching for it specifically.
This is weird. So are these... Okay, so the film opens with what appears to be some sort of like Russian soldiers. Are they Russian or are they British? I don't... Their uniforms would suggest that they were like Russian soldiers.
Yeah, I was thinking Soviet Union or some sort.
Yeah, and so like they're digging...
They could have been Transylvanian. Who knows?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. You would know that. But like they're like excavating some site, right? Like it's like some archaeological dig or something, which is weird because they don't look like archaeologists. They just look like soldiers. So what are they doing?
Yeah, they're just blasting for it. Oh, the Romanian. So I was right.
Oh, okay. Good job.
The Romanian army.
That would make more sense than what I said.
So they're doing blasting. I love this. This opening is just, even the opening is edited terribly because one guy gets on his microphone and calls and says, "Oh, stop blasting." And then we see another guy and he's looking on his little pad of paper and he picks up the phone and goes, "Huh? Oh, stop blasting."
"Yes, come in."
"Stop blasting. We've uncovered a tomb."
"Right."
There's a delayed reaction.
Yeah, I was like, who is the first guy talking to?
Yeah.
Was he waiting? Was
headquarters, maybe? He called the wrong number.
So they blast open and they find a perfect tomb opening, which it leads to a staircase, goes down into a tomb, which is like a mausoleum. And they go, "Oh, we found the tomb we were looking for. We're going to have to call in some archaeologists. Now, one guard, stay here and sleep." And this guy does.
One fucking guard.
And this guy sees the name Dracula all over the walls and goes, "Yeah, I can rest here."
No, I'd be like, "Peace, I'm out. Like, yeah, I'm not staying here. You can go fuck yourself. I'm out.
It gets even worse because for no apparent reason, there's some kind of earthquake or something happened. Tremors happen.
That's because what they're telling you in this sequence is that the Draculas, the whole family of them, want to get out.
I don't think so because they're dead. Okay. So one tremor happens and this guy's like, "Oh shit, maybe a block falls on his head at first," right? He goes, "Maybe I should go upstairs and leave." And he goes, "Nah, I'll go. I think they stopped the tremors. So let me go under the staircase and take a nap."
and the tomb of Dracula.
And he does. And then another. Now, so the reason you take shelter under the stairs is because he thinks that's a structure that will hold if any cave-in happens. Okay, that's maybe smart. But then he goes to sleep. And the first thing that happens when another tremor wakes him up, he decides to leave the safe spot that he found. Right.
Well, he just wanted to go get his PB&J sandwich in the car.
Apparently.
You know?
Apparently. Because he is distracted from his PB&J because one of the crypts breaks open and a coffin shoots out. And naturally, as anybody does after having an earthquake almost kill him twice, he decides, I'm going to open that thing. And he doesn't need any crowbar. He doesn't need tools.
No.
He just lifts off the coffin.
Yeah, this thing's probably, I don't know, centuries old.
Centuries old. And when he looks inside, there is literally a sack of potatoes with a steak in it. Right? There's a sack of potatoes and a steak. And his first instinct is, I got to take that steak out.
What's amazing to me is the fact that what's underneath this thing. Okay, so like it's like a tarp, and there's a steak coming out of it. Like it's someone killed this whatever and left the steak there. Wouldn't the steak have like fallen over? Because it's literal bones. There's nothing left in there.
this is like posing the idea that the skeleton is still in perfect condition, and that the steak is just sticking in where the heart should be.
All right,
I'm baffled. That. I got another question for you. Somebody staked this, but wrap them first.
Yeah. How did he go about doing that?
Yeah. This guy is like, you know what? The first thing that Dracula hates is you throw a potato sack over them. Second thing he hates is you stab them. Let's make them a nice grave.
But what's even more impressive about this particular dead body is that the guy decided to remove the stake.
Yeah, he removes it.
And and what comes out of that coffin is a freaking hound of hell.
That's, yes. And I have to point this out because the guy doesn't realize the hound of hell is coming out of the coffin or coming back to life after he removes the stake because he is so enthralled with a piece of wood that's in his hand that he can't stop staring at it.
He's staring at it like it's the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, like he found something. He's like, what is this, oak? Like, cherry wood?
Oh my God.
What do I have here in my hand? I don't know what this piece of wood is.
First of all, who the hell would remove that thing? You're in Dracula's tomb. I don't know. Use your common sense, dude. How do you kill a vampire? A stake through the heart. Why would you even touch that thing?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with this idiot? He deserves what he's about to get.
I have to give this movie some credit because I just assumed that old Drac was turning into a dog. That's what I assumed here, but no. They buried the family pet with them in their crypt.
Yep, but he got staked. Well, he got covered with a tarp, and then he got staked. Yes. Now,
and then placed in the wall. Sophia
must have buried him. It must have been her favorite pet. Who the hell put this family of Draculas in a tomb, in a crypt? Who would do that? And who took care of the very last one? Where's that Dracula? Right? If there's one Dracula putting them all in the tomb, what happened to the last one?
Maybe it was Guillermo.
Oh, Guillermo. Gizmo?
That's familiar. Yeah, Gizmo. So, and by the way, this whole sequence, I actually said, this feels like it could have been an episode of What We Do in the Shadows. That's the first thing I said.
Yeah.
I was like, this feels very funny.
But like, you know, goofy. What, though? Like, this movie was not as funny as What We Do in the Shadows.
No, of course. It's not supposed to be. It's not even trying to be. It's just unintentionally funny.
I didn't really find it unintentionally funny. I thought it was like, what?
Multiple times we were like, holy shit.
Let's get back into it before we keep getting off track. Let's go through the whole plot.
So the dog attacks the guy staring at the stake and kills him instantly. And we were like, okay, I'm on board. This is insane.
This looked like the dog really bit him. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's decently done. And then what's even crazier is that the hellhound now goes up to the other crypto's cracked and pulls out an entire other coffin and then takes the stake out. What's opens the lid and takes the steak out of another body. And that body comes back and it is this guy.
Who's like basically a familiar.
Yeah, who played in Salem's Lot as the other vampire we mentioned. And we didn't know his name for the entire time. But what I love is I think right before this, and I might have cut this off, I forgot. But right before this, we have something incredible. And that's why I think we were on board. We were like, holy crap, what is this movie already? The dog has his own flashback.
Oh my God. This is the best. Usually you get some silly, like, you know, back in the day, okay, we need like, you know, a backstory for Dracula and how all this is going to happen, right? No, we don't get a human or a vampire flashback. We get a dog flashback. This dog is actually flashing back to his past when he was the dog of Dracula's servant, and his name is Zoltan, the dog.
Well, and that's, oh, yeah. He actually, at this point in time, is not the dog of the servant. That hasn't occurred yet. This is before, this was his nice living life, where his owner, the innkeeper, and his wife live in this house, and he protected them. And one night, while the innkeeper is coming to bring him soup, and by the way, the reason we know this dog's name is Zoltan is this guy says it at least 100 times in this film.
It's a 5-minute time span that we're in, and he literally says it.
Every couple seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Like, yes.
I turned to look at you, and I was like, Zoltan? I wonder if his name is Zoltan.
Yeah, yeah.
Zoltan. 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 Good Zoltan. Good soup I do. Yes. Zoltan. Oh, Zoltan. What's the matter? All right.
Well, Zoltan is freaking out as a dog, because he's a good boy, and so he hears something, and he freaks out. So he runs, and what we see is that a vampire bat flies in the window of whoever this woman is. I'm guessing it's the innkeeper's wife. Don't really know who she is, but she's of course laying in bed like any vampire film. He flies in the window to get his suck on.
Damn.
And
you nest.
The dog runs up to the outside the window. It's like on the second floor, and he keeps barking to the point where Drac just can't get it going. You know what I'm saying? He can't get it going.
You make it sound like it's a porno.
He fang blocks him at this point.
Oh my God.
And so Dracula jumps out the window and flies down as a cute little bat and lands on Zoltan's neck and decides, look, if I can't have that woman upstairs, I'm getting another bitch.
How do you know Zoltan's a girl?
I don't know.
Zoltan's a boy.
Okay.
He's the goodest boy
who turns instantly into a Dracula.
Oh, yeah. Instantly into a Dracula.
Zoltan Dracula now.
Oh, my God. So
he's a part of the fam.
Can we just talk about the VIP of this movie real quick? It's not Zoltan, although he's amazing. It's literally the dog trainer. I mean, I've never seen this
guy worked on a lot of movies.
This is absolute brilliance training this dog to do these things.
I wonder how, I couldn't find facts about how many dogs they used, anything like that.
I'm sure it's a couple. I mean, obviously, you know, just for the one, they had to switch him out.
Just for Zoltan alone.
It's a Doberman.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, like, this dog was literally acting. It was crazy. Like, he was snarling and he had, like, blood coming out of his mouth and, I mean, he was literally acting.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, I guess in his flashback, what we find out is the innkeeper runs up and he's like, Zoltan, what's the matter? And I think Zoltan actually, like, there's a moment where he, like, barks because I think Dracula's about to kill him. But then Zoltan kind of barks and it's like, I wanted subtitles here. I was hoping that we would get Zoltan subtitles where he's like, hey, look, this is my master. This is my old master. Let's not kill him, master. Let's make him a part of the family. And so they do. They turn him But this was confusing to us in this movie, that this innkeeper becomes some kind of familiar. But when we see him in the tomb and we see that Zoltan runs up and opens the coffin and pulls the stake out, it's this man.
But he has a stake in him as if he is.
Which he is a vampire. We are told he is not a vampire in this movie, which doesn't make much sense for the staking.
No, also he can walk during the day.
Yes.
He doesn't drink blood.
No.
I don't get it.
Now, after Zoltan awakens this guy, we get a sequence where we meet Detective Bronco. And
That's Jose Ferrer.
Yes, he shows up, and we get an entire sequence where I guess one of the heads of this Romanian army, she tells him that they indeed found Dracula's, an entire Dracula family.
It sounds funny when you say Dracula's.
It's amazing. Every time they said it, I laugh. I couldn't stop thinking of the woman in the bog.
We know how the blood was taken, but by what and why?
Don't look at me. With the proper instruments, I could duplicate the extractive process, but I can't imagine why anyone would want to.
For food? No. Yes. Well, what I mean is, why else would it... Brad, don't look at me that way. And don't think I'm crazy. But could we have a Dracula running loose out there?
They found a whole family of Draculas. They have them, all the coffins, out in the daylight, right in front of them. And they have some soldiers open them up. And he says, two are missing. We have the other four. Right, there is a sequence where before this all happens, that Zoltan and the innkeeper look at one of them, which I guess was the head Dracula that we saw in this flashback, this dog's flashback. They look at it and they kind of go, "Eh." Now I didn't understand why they didn't take him out and take the stakes out of the other vampires. Why did they leave them to die?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that was really weird to me.
And it's weird.
We were also weirded out because of like, well, if any archaeologists come in here, they're going to remove the stakes as well. And we're going to have a whole Drac attack on our hands.
So that's my question. My question is, so when Zoltan the dog took the stake out of the innkeeper, why didn't the innkeeper take the other coffins out and
that's
remove
what I just
this?
Said.
Yes, I don't understand. That was my main question.
Especially
in this movie.
Why did Zoltan look at Dracula's tomb, specifically his tomb, and go, he actually growled a little bit. And I was like, they don't like this dude. Like, I don't understand why. And we do see that they open up the coffins and they intelligently say, these are the Dracula family. For some reason, we've been searching for them. I don't know why. And then they set them on all on fire. So they're gone.
I was like, okay, that is a smart thing to do in a movie. But I'm still coming fresh off this whole, like, okay, why didn't they just pull the stakes? I don't understand. Because
glad they didn't. Yeah, I mean.
The whole point now is that the innkeeper and Zoltan have to find a new master.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to get to. I have some dialogue here. Now, I have to point out, like, they're intelligent enough that they have been tracking this Bronco. Detective Bronco has been tracking Dracula and his family to dispose of them from the earth. Like, get rid of vampires. Okay, and I was like, okay. Like, we're not going to have any explanation of who they are. They've been searching for 300 years for this tomb? I was like, that's wild.
So many, many, many generations have been searching for this tomb.
But one of the things I love real fast is that you kept saying to me, all these characters in this movie are very smart. And I was like, well, not the guy that was downstairs with the stake that just got everybody killed. Like, it makes this movie happen. And then
I meant was the guy that decides that, you know, Bronco that is going to set them all on fire so that they don't come back. That was smart. And also, he staked the guy that got bit in the neck downstairs that was eating a PB&J sandwich.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to stake him just because he's bit.
Maybe that's why he was staring at it so much, that stake, because he knew that was his demise.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But
Bronco
is
smart here, but I would say that everybody quickly descends into madness in this film. But, okay, so I have to point this out because there is a conversation now after they realized that two of the coffins were empty and that something had come out and killed that agent, that one soldier. they kind of realize, crap, we don't know who the Draculas were, but we're pretty damn sure the one, we searched the name on the coffin. It was an innkeeper. And then they, for some odd reason, they say, well, I don't think he's a Dracula. Right? And they actually have this line of dialogue where one of them says, he's a fractional Lamaya?
What the hell does that mean?
A fractional Lamaya. And he says, they're able to function in the daytime and have no need to drink blood.
Well, I have narrowed it down to only one. I have identified all the others that we burned.
But there were two empty coffins.
All I can account for is one. However, interesting. Yeah. Fractional Lamia. That's what it was.
Fractional Lamia. What does that mean?
It means someone who is only part vampire. A real asset to a Dracula.
In what way?
In many ways. Unlike their masters, they can function in the daytime. They can be trusted to find victims. And most importantly, they have no craving for blood. That's what Veit Schmidt was to Igor Dracula. The perfect servant.
Then actually, he is better off. He has no cravings, and therefore he does not live in danger.
Wrong. They cannot exist without their masters.
Right? And I searched this because I was like, I've never heard of this. The undead creature that is only part vampire. So I was like, wait, what the hell is a Lamaya? So I looked it up, and it's in Greek mythology is an undead creature who eats children or night haunting spirit. That's wow. When I found out. I was like, I've never heard of this creature before in my life. And
okay.
And I think we've seen a lot of movies and read a lot of horror novels and stuff like that. I've never heard of this before.
Well, that would have been a step up if this guy actually tried to eat those kids.
Yes, if he did anything. So he's a part vampire. So I was like, he is kind of a familiar.
I mean, no, he's not really a familiar because familiars are human.
Well, it depends on what mythology, because if you think Fright Night, that guy is like a zombie.
Wait a minute. No, the guy that you're talking about, the guy that lives with Jerry Dandridge.
He's familiar.
He's not a zombie. He's a human being.
No, he's not. When they go to hit him, he dissolves. Here's some snippets from the $2 late fee podcast where they're actually interviewing director Tom Holland and actor Jonathan Stark about this very thing. It's very cool. Check this out.
But I got to ask this question, Tom, and Jonathan, before we jumped on, he kind of briefly mentioned it and we talked about it, Dustin, you and I with Jack. So in regards to Billy Cole's character,
Tom just mentioned this to me. We were talking last week.
Yeah.
And he now has a definitive answer because of the books he's writing.
So I wrote a novel called Fright Night Resurrection.
Cool.
And that's
excellent.
That's a novel, and it explains who Billy Cole is and his background, and I dramatize it. And in that, because Billy Cole dissolves, and at the end when he's staked to the heart, you see the dust coming out. You know, of his pant legs and out of his cuffs, I made him a golem. Ordinarily, they would say that he's just a ghoul, but I wanted an explanation that justified his melting.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
And he's super strong.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Remember, he lifts the entire coffin with him in it?
That's true.
Yeah, he's a familiar.
Huh.
They always, usually Dracula always has his Renfield, which are like half dead. They eat like bugs and, you know, they can command animals and stuff, but they're not full vampires.
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking here. But how did these two deduce that he is this creature and not a vampire? Like, I don't know how they came up with this.
Maybe they had some books on it.
They said, apparently, they searched this guy's name on the World Wide Web in 78 and was like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I think he's just a familiar.
I don't know. I feel like this is, I mean, I'm glad they moved the scene along like pretty quickly. It's like, okay, they explain it really quick. Like, all right, we burned him up. Let's kill this guy because he was bit. And now they learn that they're on the path of finding a new master.
Okay, so here's the dialogue here. That's what I wrote down here. So I have to say this. Bronco says, there are no Draculas left. And then the other one, well, the girl says, there are no Draculas left. And he says, no vampire Draculas. And she says, one Michael Dracula.
They found him in the phone book.
Yeah, he changed his name to Drake.
In the white pages.
Yeah, he's like, there is no vampire Draculas, but there is a Michael Dracula.
Let me tell you something. If my last name was Dracula, I would not change
it. Yeah, would you? Are they saying that in this universe that the Dracula novel exists? And that's why this guy changed his name?
I mean, I don't know. Well, maybe he changed it because he didn't want to sound like, you know, undead that's crazy what, person.
But only that a person named Dracula would. If it, you think it's an undead, then that book must be in existence.
Don't forget, you are the last of the line.
Well, that's pretty wild, Inspector. But I'll tell you one thing. If what you say is true, I'm going to make a lot of money.
Well?
Yeah, I'm going to sue all those people who've been making Dracula pictures without my permission.
A very funny joke, Mr. Drake.
Well, you would think that he would learn a little bit about what happened to his ancestors. I mean, they're all staked, right?
Well, he doesn't know that. There's actually a part in this movie where they drop a whole crap load of exposition really quickly. They go, hey, by the way, do you remember when you were 9 years old and you had to flee the country, Romania, because your mom and dad were killed? And he's like, wasn't that some kind of protest? That they died accidentally in a protest? And he goes, I wish that was true. It's just because you are part of the Drac family.
Oh, my God. All right, so...
he's a full Dracula. So Michael Dracula. So now we're going to meet Michael Dracula.
All right, Michael Dracula is played by that Mr. Pataki guy. He's Ivan Drago's assistant in Rocky IV. So he's got this family. He's got a wife, two kids named Steve and Linda.
Yeah, that makes laugh. Just family members name the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny. And they have two dogs, two German shepherds who just had two little puppies.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, this is definitely, we already know, a dog-centric movie because it's called Dracula's Dog. All right, got it. So... I was like thinking, all right, we're going to see some carnage here with these dogs. I was not happy about it, but I kind of kept it quiet because I was like, oh, all right, I don't want to be that person. So anyway, we meet the family. They're going on a camping trip. They're all going on a camping trip to the lake.
Yeah, some kind of lake.
But
I was going to say it real quick is that we see that the way that the innkeeper and Zoltan.
Zoltan.
Got here is that they smuggled him on board a ship from Romania to California.
Yes, Michael Dracula lives in California. Encino, yeah. Is it?
It seems like it, yeah.
But where would he find him? There are no Draculas left.
No vampire Draculas left, Major. In my research, I discovered that about 30 years ago, young Michael Dracula, the last of the Dracula line, was taken out of this country for his own safety.
And where is he now?
In America. 14521 Kittredge Street, Los Angeles, California.
But they smuggled him in by saying that he's a dead dog that they wanted to put in their crypt. Their family crypt, and that they smuggled him in. And we see a sequence, and this was very confusing, but because we have to see this one creepy actor stare every couple minutes.
We're going to put a picture of face. Him. We're going to put a picture.
It looks like he sucks a lemon head every time. He's like puckering up.
Yeah. It's
just
creepy.
Really creepy and weird. And after a while it gets obnoxious, but, this is one of the weirder moments is that the people checking the crates for smuggling in drugs or anything like that, they open up the crate and they check the dead body of the dog. Now the dog is in full daylight. So yeah. I'm extremely confused about this moment.
I don't know. It seems like all the things that I've ever known about vampires just tossed out the window in this movie because I don't know. Familiars can be staked and dead And then come back by just removing the stake. So that's number one. Familiars don't need to drink blood because they're not technically vampires and they can daywalk. Okay, fine. Then the Hounds of Hell, which is Zoltan, he doesn't burn up in the daylight.
He does, though, because later on in the movie, we find out he has to go in during the day. But why he's not burning in the sun in this sequence, very confusing.
I'm going to say that's just a film flub on the
filmmaker's
part. Like, they just forgot.
Yeah.
Because, come on.
Well, the innkeeper, now I love this. Naturally, if you're going to L.A. and you need a ride and you're a part of a Dracula family, you need to get yourself a hearse. So naturally, they make themselves extremely... obvious
that
there's some bad guys around.
You know, how else are you going to tote around the coffin of the dog?
I guess you could have just had a truck.
A family truckster? What are you going to do?
A van.
Clark Griswold's car?
A 1970s van? I mean, a murder van either way.
A murder van? I mean, either way, it looks like a murder vehicle. So yeah, what's the difference?
But a hearse is really comical.
It's too on the nose.
Well, they find out where Michael Dracula lives, and in the night... they kind of stalk the house, and it alerts the German shepherds that they have as their two dogs. And we have a sequence of, you know, him like telling the dogs to stop and be quiet. And then they weren't going to take their dogs with them on their trip because they have a big trip planned in the morning, a big fishing trip, a hiking trip, the whole thing. And the wife talks him into bringing the two German shepherds and the new puppies or puppy.
Here's the thing. I told you, I'm like, first of all, the dogs are the stars of this movie. Okay, so there's no way we're not going to have all these dogs. However, bringing puppies is like a whole different level. So I was like, oh man, come on. I'm going to see these dogs get eaten or whatever. It sucks. But yeah, so they're going on
Don't skip the neighbor because I know
I'm
you
not
need
skipping
to talk
the neighbor. So they're going to go on a big, 2 week camping trip. Fine. But what's amazing about this next scene is I was baffled. I'm like, you know what? I would slap this fucker. The husband, he talks to the neighbor. The neighbor comes over who's going to be watching their house when they go away, right? And he says to the neighbor, oh, thank you for doing this for me. And he kisses her almost on the lips, right?
He actually, she says, don't worry, your house is in good hands. And if you need anything else, you could just call. And then he says, can you replace my wife on the trip? And then he goes, I'm just kidding. And then he kisses her on the lips.
Just keep an eye on the house.
Oh,
you
know I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
We're all set, dogs and all.
I was just telling Marla, if you really want to leave them, I'll be happy to take care of them. They're no problem.
Oh, well, I'd rather leave my wife and take you.
Ho, ho, ho. Come on.
See you in a couple of weeks, my sweet.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
It looked like he kissed her on the lips. And I was just like, he asked if she can replace his wife. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? If I don't care if you're saying that in a joking manner. There's some truth behind that shit.
That's some crazy stuff.
What a fucking stupid line. Like, it was the stupidest line because nothing like this ever comes back into the movie. It's like...
No, and even later on, to double down on his asshole husband thing, he says... to his wife, everything's going to be fine by tapping her on the forehead with his finger.
Like, I don't know.
And I was like, wow.
Like, he's kind of just condescending and disrespectful. But this doesn't go on through the whole thing. They actually...
They hardly have interactions.
No, they really don't. They go camping and they pull up to their favorite spot on the lake. But they're being followed by, Raisin Face and the Hound of Hell.
I guess I should point this out, though, is that he has a giant trunk, naturally, as any Dracula does. He has a giant trunk, and he went and got his bullets out. But when he got his bullets out, something really unique and interesting happened here. He just randomly finds a picture of Dracula and Zoltan. Now, they have been missing for 300 years.
What was this? In the 1600s, they didn't have Polaroids.
And they both posed? You're telling me Dracula and his dog posed for a photo?
They posed for a photo in, like, the 1600s.
Yeah, I was okay. Like, what?
This is like a Polaroid.
It's a fucking straight-up Polaroid. And not only what, he actually ordered two prints.
Yes, he had two copies prints of it. I'm like, oh my god, were they? Did they fuck up? And they're supposed to put two different photos in there. They put the same exact photo. He looks at the same photo twice. It was funny.
One's like wrinkled up, and the other one's like perfect condition.
So I'm here thinking, okay, so he's looking at this photo, like that's his ancestor, so he knows who he is. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah, because in the photo, it's the same actor. So the actor playing Michael Dracula also played Count Dracula.
Yeah,
because,
you know, they have to play their ancestor. Yeah. They look exactly the same, you know.
Which is something that I think every single person who's ever caught it is sick of it in these movies.
Yeah, we're sick of it.
Where the that would mean that you just had sex with the same person over and over, like your
through
own family
all the
member.
Centuries.
To look the same constantly.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible.
Yeah, like none of my two family members, not one of two family members look identical or even close enough.
You have little features. Everybody has little features, but not the same look.
Right.
Like not Michael Dracula.
I feel like I have some similarities with some of my nieces. But otherwise, you can't mistake one for the other. Like, I can't just take my niece's spot in life and just slide right in there. And no one will notice.
Exactly. And it makes me think that when Michael's looking at this picture, he's got to be like, I don't remember posing for this. You know what
First
I mean?
First of all, who gave him the photo?
It's his family that he was orphaned and sent to America with this trunk. The trunk is everything. And I love that in his trunk is like, all of the old country and all of his family's stuff that he has left, and he stores his bullets in there.
I know. He has to bring a gun because they're going, you know, in the wilderness. So
I love that they had to show us that he looked at this picture. It was so funny to me.
It was like, okay, he looked at it as if he's seeing it for the first time, though. But that's what made me a little baffled, because I'm like, wait, you're looking at it like you've seen it for the first time, but you have it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you know who you are.
Yes.
It's strange.
I actually wrote, because I was trying to write a couple things to remind myself about, and I really wrote this line here. I just wrote, Count Igor Dracula posed for pictures? That's all. I just could not believe it existed in this movie, in this universe. Well, they go on a trip, and naturally, because this is a 70s film, we have to have a lot of driving music, and I guess we should point out the music in this film. It's like someone learned to play the Casio keyboard for the first time.
This sounds like a 1970s porno. I mean, the 70s is such trash. I mean, everything about it. The freaking clothing, everything. But how come in 1970s horror movies, they decide to put like after school special, like, you know, nice driving music, like a nice summer day. What if this is a horror movie?
Yeah.
Like, why do we need this?
It's like one of two things, right? It's like someone learned to play the Casio keyboard for the first time, and then also the theremin, where it's like, I don't know if that device was out that early, it probably was, but it's like that weird noise that the theremin makes, and then the Casio keyboard. So we have that, and then the keyboard with the synthesizer.
You have to put the music in.
It's just really, really odd and off-putting, and it doesn't like add anything to it. You kind of, I don't know why someone hasn't learned early on in the 70s that creepy music makes a movie creepy.
Yeah, you like, know, especially like, for a movie like this.
Afternoon special. That's what I'm going for in this movie.
It's like elevator music.
Yeah. So they go to the fishing spot. They get out there. We see some other families are out there, but they're moving on. So they're pretty much alone out here. And of course, the hearse is following them. And we get to see that they're being stalked. And slowly we start seeing stuff like, for some odd reason, they let the puppy out. And the mom, the mother dog or whatever it is, follows the puppy. And they lose the puppy. So the puppy's just out in the middle of nowhere, right? And at nighttime, we actually get Zoltan, the other dog, killing the puppy.
See, I knew this is coming.
This is going to upset everybody.
I knew this is coming. Like, I just can hear our friend Aaron in the back of my head right now. I'm like, no!
It's so funny.
Anytime a dog gets hurt in a movie, she screams. So here's the thing, though. Yeah. I mean, we knew this was coming. The demon dog bites him, okay?
But when you saw it, you said, He's not biting him. He's like kind of picking him up. And I was like, I think he's biting
No, I thought he, you know how they pick up their dogs
yeah, at the by back the of neck. The neck? That's what it looked like.
Well, that's what it looked like. So I was like, oh, maybe he's going to keep him for like his little buddy or something. No. And
the next shot, he's licking his chops.
Yeah, he's all hit. I mean, this dog, I feel bad for this dog, Zoltan, okay? Because they literally pumped him full of that like corn syrup because he's always dripping blood out of his mouth.
Yes.
And like I said, he's the VIP of this movie. He's a really good actor. I mean, the animal trainer is fantastic. So he kills the dog, and there's a whole, which they could have cut down, you know, 20 minutes of this, of them looking for the dog, of looking for the puppy. So they finally find the puppy. He's dead in a little, like, boat somewhere, and they bury him.
Yeah, and the father first tells the kid, I think he died of, what was it, like...
From the elements of exposure.
Exposure. And then when he goes to bury him, he goes, I think a snake got him.
Yeah, he said it looks like a snake bite.
There's giant holes in the back of his neck.
Yeah, but he puts him in the ground and they bury him. And I was like, oh, this is great. I know exactly what's going to happen. This little cute little puppy.
I never thought it would happen.
I mean, this cute little puppy is going to come back. I know it. He's going to come back as a demon dog. So...
It does.
He does come back as a demon dog.
They actually look like they buried this dog for real and let the dog crawl out of the ground.
Yeah, it's upsetting. So, but then next to the family, like close by, are two fishermen and they also have a dog.
Yes.
And now their dog is bigger and that dog gets attacked by Zoltan as well. And he gets turned.
Yes.
So now we have at least two full-size Dracula dogs.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Are we going to see like crazy animal attacks like in like, you know, real time? Like it's going to be crazy.
Well, it also slowly starts getting their dogs. Like one dog gets taken over. And this is one of the dumbest sequences, right? Because in the middle of the night, the two dogs attack the house. Like after the fisherman's dog gets taken over, it goes and literally opens the dog to their motorhome and comes in and stares at the father. Now, why this dog doesn't instantly bite him, and since that's the plot here, the plot is that they want, and I guess we didn't say this, but the plot of this movie literally is that the innkeeper's like, we need a new master, and the only master we can get is Michael Dracula because he's the last descendant. Now, we both went, wait a minute. He has two kids.
He has a little boy.
Are they suggesting that the bloodline just ended after Michael?
Is it because he's
not pure?
He's like born after the girl. So he's supposed to be born next in line.
I don't think
because
it's about line.
He was younger than the girl.
Their actual descendants, that he is the last of the descendants. But I'm like, unless they're suggesting that the descendants only can be, like, inbred.
What?
Well, I'm asking you, what would stop what would make his son, the little kid in this movie, what would make him not be the ancestor unless it had to do with some kind of pure blood thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They just forget that he has a little boy.
Every time a character says something about the ancestry dying with Michael as being the last, and he's the only one left, I kept going, does anybody understand that his children are also ancestors?
Yeah.
Like, it's like passing down the line.
It was weird because I was like, oh my God, what if they do realize, like, midway through the movie that they can take one of the kids?
I was waiting for it the entire movie.
So was I.
It did not make sense why the villains didn't understand this.
Right.
So the dog attacks Michael in the middle of the night. He fights them off. And now, one of the dumbest moments I've ever seen on film is after two dogs wrestle this guy in the front of his trailer, and he shoots a gun at them to scare them off, they're sleeping with the window open. Like, there's no problem. And the little girl wakes up and goes, you know what? I'm not terrified by gunshots or two dog attacks. And we're not packing up the motorhome and moving tonight.
Yeah.
We're still going to stay here. And both parents, after a dog attack, are sleeping.
Worst parents ever.
And she just gets up, this little girl, and decides to go out. And then she goes out. And as she goes out, the other dog, because they have two dogs. One's inside, and the other one runs off, and she follows it. Now, she's like screaming, come back, come back. No one hears it. And when she follows it out there, before she gets there, they have now bit that dog, and he is now one of them instantly.
Well, one of their shepherds was the... He's the one that found his puppy, right? So
it was the mother one. It was the, yeah.
Was the, okay, so it was mother. So here's the thing. We have, at this point, the puppy is dead. The puppy is buried.
Yeah, we don't even need to worry about that because they never talk about it again for a long time.
They don't talk about it, but the dogs are, they're being attacked by two dogs in the night.
Yeah.
He had to shoot at them. I mean, I think it's time to pack up.
That's what I would have said. They should have packed up, but they just went to sleep.
They're like the worst parents ever.
So this little girl gets attacked, and I'm not even kidding you. We were shocked because the dogs start mauling this little girl.
Yeah.
Right? And the two fishermen end up like saving her by scaring the dogs off because they shoot their guns and they save the little girl. Now, I don't know why the two, three Dracula dogs now have to run off. They could just kill these guys.
Right, yeah.
But they decide to run off, and they save this little girl. Now, I don't know if there was a different plot here that this movie was setting up, or this little actress was just not acting well enough. I'm very confused about it, because every time they show her after she's just been mauled, she seems like she's smiling. So yeah. My first thought was, well, they bit her.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, she actually is a descendant. So, I mean, they could just follow her.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the movie waiting for something that we didn't get.
Yeah, we were expecting some kind of twist.
Yeah.
But I swear, when they show this actress, they start not showing her in this movie very much. Like, in fact, the two kids are hardly in the movie.
Well, they realize that they have too much to, you know, at stake.
I guess. I see what you did there. But the little girl... Every shot is like a smile or a grin.
She's a terrible actress.
So, and she does have a cut. They make you know that she has a slash on the side here. And I was like, oh, she must have got bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she made it. And nope, doesn't matter. They never talk about it again. So the two fishermen here, and by the way, these dogs always alert themselves. Like, they alert everybody to their presence. Instead of just jumping out of the shadows and killing everybody, they just go, they have to howl and alert themselves before they charge.
No, their howling literally sounds like a woman just screeching.
That's only sometimes. There's some
terrible.
The sound, it's not the howling. They actually howl like actual dogs. But when they make other noises, it's next level crazy.
When they
it's
get tossed terrible. Around or something, like they get shook, it's always like a high-pitched squeal. Like, What are they using for sound effects here? Like a pig squealing? Because this sounds awful.
Yeah, one always does that. I'm trying to think of what cartoon character it is that mumbles a lot, but it's like... That's what the dogs always do. Zoltan always makes that noise.
Yeah.
I feel like at any point they could have taken over Michael, but they just keep fucking up. So what happens is that the fishermen disappear. Now, they say, our dog ran off, and the dog that was attacking your daughter was our dog, and our dog wouldn't do that. He was a good guard dog. Like, he's acting like he didn't know us. And so they're like, instead of like now calling the cops, those two fishermen just walk back off into the forest hearing the howling.
Yeah.
And then we see that they are packing up to finally leave the family because they've had enough, you know. And that's when Bronco finds them, because Bronco in the background has been like searching for them and has like been asking people. He asked the next door neighbor, and then he found the sheriff in town, and then he finally finds them. And this is when he basically, Bronco and the father go off and they have a conversation. Bronco is like dropping all the exposition. You're of the Dracula family. This is all happening. You have to come with me. We need to separate because they're after you.
Yeah, because they need a new master.
Yeah, and they're looking for you. And so you have to come with me. So he says bye to the family.
You know, I was wondering why, though. Why do they need a new master? Just go on about your life.
There's multiple times where the innkeeper character keeps saying, we can't make it another night without a master.
But why, though? So what if... Okay, so they took the dog took the stake out of the innkeeper, right? And then he came back to life.
Yes.
So is there a 10-day grace period?
That's I don't understand it.
This is so stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. And it's like... I don't get it at all. And isn't the dog a Dracula?
Yeah, it's so like a Cinderella story.
So the master?
Yeah,
Why do they need an actual Dracula relative?
Right,
it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And what would happen when he does get a new Dracula relative? They're going to be moving back to the Castle Dracula? And
I guess Michael Dracula's going to take over. And who the hell knows in Romania? I don't know.
I got nothing.
They don't seem like they're good at being Draculas. Like, I'll tell you that. The plot of
this is like... stupid.
And, can we also point out that the innkeeper knows how to drive?
Yeah, because back in, you know, like 800 BC, you know, they had wheels.
800 BC.
He learned, you know, he would just learn by staring at a wheel.
Yeah, that's it. Learned. That's all. I was like, you know what? This is like my horses.
Yeah.
It uses horsepower.
Yeah.
So he, okay, so of course, Bronco and the father now split up and they go to a shack in the middle of the woods. They say it's a cabin, but when they get there, it's just a shed with a bed in it.
It's a tool shed that they recreated just for this scene.
Yeah.
It was terrible. This is supposed to be, all this was like five planks of plywood holding this thing up. It was terrible. It looked worse than the freaking Evil Dead cabin.
No, it does not look. It does just look like a little shed. It's pretty big, but on the outside, we don't see windows. We just see a door. In the inside, we get windows.
Yeah, there's some film flips going on
I love
on
that
there.
Bronco's like, hey, look, here's the deal. At night, they hunt you. In the daytime, we'll hunt them.
Yeah.
Does he once hunt them in the daytime? No.
No, but can I say something? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know, the wife, Mrs. Dracula, she took this very well.
Well, he's like, I'll tell you later. I'll explain it later.
She's like, do you trust this guy? He's like, I trust him completely. I trust him. I'm like, what? You just met him 13 seconds ago. He could be some raving lunatic. He thinks that you're Count Dracula.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? That sounds normal to you?
Well, it must be only because he's like, I do have a picture of Dracula with his dog.
He has a picture of someone.
He doesn't even tell Bronco about that. Like, by the way, I have a picture of what looks like a me as Dracula, dressed as Dracula,
and
with a dog that happens to be the same dog that attacked me the other night, but he never mentions that dog is the same dog in the picture. Never says anything about this scene.
It could have been his next door neighbor, Barry, and, you know, the Halloween 1976 when he dressed up as a vampire. You know?
So, okay. So they go to the shed.
He's very believing of all this.
Yes, he is. He's accepting very quickly. Bronco goes, hey, I got some weapons. Apparently, on his trip finding Michael, he stopped at the Home Depot at least once because he has an entire bag full of fence. Then he goes, these are stakes. And I'm like, they're fence pieces. They're not, none of them are like that, you know, like you break the table leg and you sharpen it.
I think you're being too generous. Those are yard sale signs.
What, the bottom stake part of a sale sign? I guess you're right. I would be hard to pierce something with that, like, flat top spike.
I mean, you don't have to have it be round. Maybe they just wanted to switch it up a little bit. That's all they had available at the dollar store.
And that's what I'm saying. He just stopped at Home Depot. And he's like, hey, where's your fence section? I need some stakes. I'm like, oh, just here you go. Here's the top of your fence.
The props are not the problem here.
So, yeah. Now, at the night, because they're very prepared, in the middle of the night, he gets the stakes out of the car. Oh, there's dogs coming. Sure as shit. They go in the house, and dogs attack the house. Now, Bronco goes, I think these are dogs. And I'm like, that was the whole point. He just told you I was attacked by dogs the other night.
Yeah, what gave it away?
Yeah, and he's like, so the dogs are now trying to get in the house. So what we have to watch is a 10-minute sequence of the dogs trying to get in this house while making the worst noises of all time. And I don't know what they did to these poor dogs, but they must have put some steak in the middle of this place and said, go at it. And they're all trying to get in for that steak because the dogs are ripping up the walls. They're trying to get in. One of my favorite thing is they have, like, I would say a fake paw on a stick. It almost reminds me of Triumph the dog. What's his name? The comic dog,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like that fake paw that he has that they use on the stick. Well, it actually punches through the windows. I laugh so hard. You can see a little hand punch through the window.
It's hysterical.
And it's at one point it's clawing a hole and a little paw is coming through the hole. And I was waiting for his like face to stick in there and said, like, here's Johnny. And then one of the dogs.
Wait, excuse me. What did you say during this scene?
I said, here's doggy.
Here's doggy. Yeah. It made me laugh because it was so silly.
It's, yeah.
But.
Well, one dog jumps on the roof.
Yes. So and starts clawing at the roof. That's Zoltan. He's the leader. He's the demon dog. But I have a question. Okay. During this scene, you know, like in a lot of horror movies, when people are trapped in like a small area, they try to find like a weapon or something to actually, you know, fend off the bad guys, you know? For most of the scene here where the dogs are trying to get in, these two assholes are just standing there.
Yeah, they're using like the bed against the wall. They're just hitting it with clubs.
But they have the fence stakes. Whoa. So the whole time you could have literally been trying to stake these dogs through the window.
They just keep swatting them with the stakes.
Like, let them fucking come in and then stake them.
I would say even odder is that for some reason Bronco sets them on fire.
Yeah.
Which I thought, you guys are going to kill yourselves in here.
Right, the whole place is going to go up.
They just kept throwing, like oh, we have
kerosene.
And now let's put the stakes on fire and then swat the stakes at them. But I was like, how is this room not setting on fire?
Right.
Because it's so small. The next shot, there's no fire. They're just standing there staring at the holes. This one dog, Zoltan's on the roof, and they keep showing the shot of this dog ripping up the roof, and I kept looking at his like snout and thinking, is that what you call it? The front of the, I don't know. It looked like splinters. Like I was like, how is this dog doing this?
I was worried more about his little feet because
there was
nails in there.
I saw that too.
I mean, this is why this movie was banned. I'm going to tell you, because these dogs are literally chewing through wood planks, shards of spiky wood, maybe nails. I mean, it just looked dangerous. And you can see they're literal digging in a plank of wood and it's splintering everywhere. This is not safe.
It looks very dangerous.
This is like really, really next level.
I have to point this out because this is probably one of the worst film flubs. It's not even a film flub because they didn't even try to hide it. The dog, Zoltan, is going through the roof, right? And they're scared that any moment the roof is going to come in. It looks like there's some kind of wire that Zoltan bites because it starts sparking up there. But they show clearly that there's just a roof up there and he is coming through. So finally, the roof falls and Zoltan falls in on them. But when we see the roof again, there's like an attic.
Yeah, there was never an attic before.
Yeah, there's just a full, like, almost a room that he fell through. And you no longer see the hole in the roof that you could see the night sky.
Yeah.
Now it's just like there's a roof, but then he fell through an attic. Like, they didn't even try.
Didn't even give a shit.
Yeah. So they manage. Zoltan falls on them and then knocks out both of them. And you think, that's it. Yeah. Zoltan's going to eat them or turn Michael into the Drac that he is. And then the sun starts coming up. And now the innkeeper keeps going, you have time. Bite them. You have time. And Zoltan's like, eh. And he jumps through the window and is like, no, I don't have time. I have to get back. And it's like daylight. Yeah. I don't even know. He really could have.
Yeah.
But what's worse is that
there's many, many, many opportunities for Zoltan to bite Michael and make him Dracula.
Yeah.
But he never does. It's just a waste of time.
I would also suggest, why does an innkeeper walk up to him and pretend to be a person also in the woods that's injured or something and then sneak up on them instead of, like, he just does nothing?
No, they just lurk about. Like, there's just so much lurking.
All he has to do is pretend to get in there. It's like, there's killer dogs out here.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. No, not even.
Nothing. He doesn't do anything. He hardly interacts. But so now the guy says that they, for some reason in the morning, they call the cops.
How do you call the cops? Number one, you're in a shack that's literally falling
down.
Yes,
there's no phone.
There's no phone. And this is way, way, way before cell phones were even invented. So how are the cops there? Who called them?
Yeah, the cops are there and they're like, I guess I'll fill out a report.
A report of what?
There's like
a pack of dogs.
They're like a pack of dogs. They're like, oh, I've never seen anything like this intense.
Oh my
like,
God.
They're, someone's going to get killed. And so they're like, we can't tell the cops about the Drax because they won't believe it. So this whole sequence is like for nothing, for no reason.
It really is. Just to go to the next shot where we see the two of them fighting. It's Bronco. He finally kills the innkeeper.
Well, yeah. But what's weird about this is that you have daylight. So they should have gone and hunted them.
Right.
But Bronco says, let's go get a drink and some food. And then I'm like, wait a minute, guys. Isn't this the moment you want to go find their body so you can kill them in the daylight?
Yeah.
So they wait tonight. And Bronco goes, we should go back to your old fishing grounds because where you were parked before, because I think that's where he's going to come.
What? Like,
he came here, though.
Yeah.
So when they go there, in the night, they split up. That's Bronco and this smart guy and Michael split up. And Bronco finds the hearse and fights the innkeeper and ends up killing him.
Now, here's my question. So this movie, if it sounds crazy and out of control already, it is. I mean, the dogs are next level pretty cool in this. But this innkeeper, who literally does nothing but stare creepily into the camera, he actually puts up a fight here for once.
Yeah.
So they tussle, and finally he stakes him, right? So Bronco stakes the innkeeper, and then you see him just like, he's bleeding, and he's just like, dead. Okay. I don't understand how. So if someone came along and pulled that stake out of him, like say the coroner's office gets him, would he come back?
I would think so. Especially since when they showed him with the stake in him and the dog pulled it out, he was a full skeleton.
Right. So if he's outside and, like, you know, ambulance comes and they
and
pull out
the stake. Yeah.
So he could just keep getting resurrected.
Yeah. That's I mean,
they never burn his body.
They do here. They actually talk about it.
When do they burn his body?
They don't show it.
Right.
Well, it's just that it's suggested because Bronco now has to find Michael because Michael's just walking around and he gets attacked by the dogs. He's able to get into his car. And again, we have another 10 to 15 minute noise insanity of the dogs on top of the car trying to get in.
I mean, now, I was getting such a headache because it was just nonstop noise of the dogs just yelping and screeching and scratching at the car.
I would say this, that the dogs almost got inside of a house or at least a shed, but they can't get through the roof of a car.
And it's a convertible?
It's a convertible top.
So it's just literally like one of those
fabric
tops. Yeah.
And like, it's like, he's like got his little paw through it and he keeps smacking it with a stake and the dog's like yelping.
I mean, honestly, all he had to do at that moment was stick the stake through the freaking like top and kill the dog.
Yeah.
It was just next level. Like, okay, how can we drag this out? How much longer can we drag this out?
Well, what happens is that he sees his dog, his second dog, and he actually sees the first dog and he's like, she's trying to kill him. So he's like, oh my God. But then he sees his other dog and he goes, come on in, and lets the dog in.
Like, not thinking anything, like, oh, maybe he's turned.
Yeah, exactly. And then that dog is a vampire as well.
He's turned.
So he fights his own dog, and they rustle around. And the only reason that he makes it here is because the two fishermen stop the rest of the dogs, because the two fishermen show back up, and they wrestle Zoltan. And there should be a couple dogs here.
Yeah, I have a question. And this is, I don't even know why I'm asking this. This is, like, so ridiculous. But Okay, so what if Zoltan needs to bite Michael so he can be his new master and be the new Dracula? But what if Michael's own dog bites him?
I was thinking about that too.
Would that change the whole scenario? Because it would no longer be Zoltan biting Michael.
Yeah.
That would change everything.
I was thinking the same thing.
Did anyone account for this? Yeah. Like, why would you add three additional dogs that are vampires?
Yes. And I have to point out that he's got his one dog in there, but there's three dogs outside the car. And so the fishermen are fighting only two dogs. Where's the other dog in the equation? The other dog disappears.
Yeah.
Right. So he kills and fights his own dog and kills his own dog, but then he's like kind of paralyzed in his car. But then Bronco shows up and starts helping the fishermen by killing one of the dogs. And then Michael's able to get out of the car and kill the other dog with the stakes. And the only dog left is Zoltan. Zoltar, or whatever the hell his name is.
Zoltan.
And he's not doing much, but Michael starts walking towards Zoltan to, like, kill that dog. And Zoltan sees the cross, the crucifix on his neck, and gets scared and backs up.
And he falls off a cliff.
And he falls off the cliff by making a woman screaming noise.
Oh my God, you have to insert that here because it's just so bad.
And he gets impaled on a wooden fence.
Fitting.
Yeah, fitting. And when we cut back to Bronco and the fishermen, they're like, the fishermen say to Michael, he just told us a crazy story. And then Michael's like, it's all true. Everything he says is real.
Uh-huh.
They're like, now we have to burn all the bodies and let the dust fade into the night sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, thank God we got all of them. There's the last of the vampires.
Last of the vampire dogs.
And the camera scrolls down and pans into the forest, and we get to see parts of other animals all over the place, and then we see the puppy. And he turns to the screen, and he's like, I'm a vampire, baby. And that's the end. Freeze frame on the little puppy vampire.
it was kind of cute, because he looked cute, like a little...
It made me smile.
A little punk. But, so, are we to believe that this dog is going to bite Michael now, and that he's going to become the Dracula or the Hounds of Hell?
Or is he just going to walk the forest and turn animals?
Yeah. Either way, I don't care. Because I'm glad this movie is over. Because just talking about this movie made me dizzy. And sometimes, like throughout the movie with the screeching and the dog sounds, I was like really just getting mad. Because I was like, how could you as a sound editor rewind this back and hear this and not think that there's something wrong? You know, the sound editing was absolutely bonkers in this movie. Now, this is not poorly filmed. I thought it was okay.
It's all right.
It wasn't poorly acted. It was all right in that department. I mean, everything in that the other departments was all right. I think the thing that was the VIP were the dogs and the dog trainers, but the sound editing and the music, the score of this movie, were dreadful. Dreadful.
Yeah, I would say that, and not much happens with the characters to even say they're bad or not.
No.
It's just, there's nothing there but dog attacks.
Right, and like the plot of this movie was so stupid that I feel like it should have gone somewhere. It just didn't. This was like an hour and a half of dogs chasing humans. It was quite annoying.
I found it...
Now, Zoltan, we need him. On the neck. Only on the neck.
Quaint.
Now he's one of us.
Like, I found it, like, kind of, like, silly fun. Like, I couldn't believe... If I was a kid when this movie came out, I probably would... If I was a kid and I saw this really early on, this movie would have scared the crap out of me.
It's scary to see the dogs like that. It would definitely make me fearful of dogs.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, they were really good actors in this. I mean, they were snarling and mean and just terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So that part worked, but nothing else in this movie worked for me. Yeah. Nothing. I don't know. I was kind of bored as far as the plot goes. Like, they don't even understand what they're doing here. It's like, okay, is this guy a vampire? Is he not a vampire?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I feel like it should have went into, like, a Pet Sematary situation where, at the end, the twist was that the daughter was now a vampire.
Yeah, because she did get attacked.
And then maybe when he goes to the camper to say hi to his wife, they were all dead.
See, that would have been...
oh, that's a twist.
That would have actually elevated this movie for me until, like, maybe a point... to like maybe 2 points.
Yeah.
It would have elevated it.
It would have made it a little more interesting.
It would have.
I feel like it's there because they could never make a movie like this now. And the fact that it was ever made is kind of impressive. I give this movie an A for effort.
They did stuff in the 70s and 80s that you couldn't really get away with today. You couldn't
get away with this stuff.
And most of the time it's now CG.
Yes.
So like these dogs though, you could tell these dogs, because of the time period, were being trained to do this, and they were pretty brilliant dogs.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm giving this movie a 3, because of the dogs and the dog training. But otherwise, this movie sucked.
I'm gonna give it a 4. I think it's like in that so bad it's good type territory.
Are you ever gonna watch it again?
I don't watch a lot of these movies that we talk about again, but I do find it like silly enough. I do say, like, if you're into like these bizarre horror films, especially Dracula vampire movies, this is a really weird, unique one. I mean, this is a weird flick. I cannot believe that they took vampire dogs so seriously. So I think it's kind of fun in that sense. I don't think it's successful, but I do think it's silly fun. And I kind of enjoy that for that. So I definitely think I have to lean toward this. It's so bad it's good 4.
All right. That's fine. I mean, I will never watch this again, and I'm going to forget that I watched it.
In a week. Would you? Because I think we're going to constantly think dog movies are like, why can't, you know, Hellhounds, or just thinking about like, oh yeah, there's a movie about Dracula dogs.
Yeah.
It's just going to be so unique. And rest of the month too, like, I can't imagine the movies getting better in the sense that, like, if there's more dog attack films, like, it would have to be something with more character to be better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This one didn't do it for me. Well,
so far, what do you like better, dogs or this?
I already forgot I watched Dogs.
There you go.
What the hell was that about again?
The linear accelerator.
I'm kidding. I do remember the linear accelerator. I would watch that movie 6 more times before this one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie was pretty boring too, though.
I mean, it was, but it had things in it that were much better than this one. I couldn't listen. The sound effects in this movie
are way worse. Are
putting me right over the edge.
I actually like the sound effect of the dogs in the dogs movie.
Yeah.
It's like a creepy, like,
yeah.
So weird.
It's better than this.
I find them both unique in the same sense. I think I like them just as much as each other, but I think that if I'm going to pick one, I feel like Dogs might be the winner.
100%.
I think so far.
I mean, I know that our pal Lisa is going to be a little distressed because I'm not doing This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things.
Oh, you're not?
No, because the reviews... I don't have the patience. There's 3 1-star reviews and 1 10-star review. And basically what they're doing in those reviews is just recapping the movie.
Which we did.
Yeah. I'm like, no, no, you just heard it right here. We recapped the whole thing. You don't need to see it. You don't have to see this movie now. So I'm not doing the reviews. I will do them. I promise next week I will do them.
We'll see.
I'm going to.
You can't make that promise.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. This week, I just don't have it in me because I'm out of energy. I'm zapped. I'm drained. I'm drained, one would say.
Was it all the staring from the 2 villains in this movie?
I'm not going to lie. That guy was really creepy. You know? He was really creepy.
I was like, stop looking at
me. We're
going
to put
this.
A picture of him online and just what we had to look at for an hour and a half of this film. He was only making that one face. That's it. That's it. It was really weird. I didn't like it. I'm going to see that in my nightmares. Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. So next week, another dog film.
What's the next week's called?
I think we're going to watch The Pack.
Okay, goody. All right.
Hopefully, because I wanted to point this out early on, but the algorithm is listening to us because it seems to know when we're about to watch a certain type of film, and when I search for them and I find them, they disappear right when we are going to go watch them. So I had these movies all ready to go, and they keep changing where they are.
For free? You got them for free?
No, I'm having a hard time finding them for free.
Well, I don't care if we have to pay for them because I need better quality. We can't have anything cut.
Yeah, well, we only had that problem last month, but you never know. But it's hard sometimes when you find a movie, you're like, I have to search the whole thing. It's hard to vet them without spoiling the movie for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, the algorithm is definitely listening because both the first two movies were all of a sudden just disappeared. Well, not first movie. The first movie is actually free on YouTube, but we just didn't like the quality.
Yeah.
But so far, The Pack and this movie we just watched tonight both disappeared off streaming.
Oh, man.
Right in time for us to watch them. So
dang. Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully next week we'll be okay with it.
Well, it's fine. Nobody else will be subjected to this terrible, godforsaken shit we had to watch.
I didn't bother me one bit.
You two belong to me. You two belong to me. You two belong to me.
One bit. All right, though, until you know, like, hit us up on Instagram. Tell us a theme or movies that you think are so bad that we need to check out on the show. If we haven't seen them, we'll watch them. You can hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're Michael Dracula, we want to know how the family is. Until next time, everybody, have a good one. Bye.
The officer here has been a bit skeptical and impatient.
I'm only here to carry out my orders.
I know you'll understand, officer, what the inspector is trying to tell you. The underground blasting uncovered a Dracula tomb.
Hey. Good nuts. He's supposed to be a watchdog. Not scaring the hell out of us.
There's one thing I know about Buster. He don't get that excited over nothing. Whatever he's chasing wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah, sure.
And tomorrow he'll be chasing us.